Good seeing everybody this morning. Let's see. So I was asked this morning to do a lesson about the Holy Spirit, which is one of my favorite topics. You know, we've been doing a class about Ezekiel the last three Saturdays, and the first 24 chapters is about doom and sin and judgment and destruction. And, you know, I'm teaching the book, so if that's what it's talking about, then that's what I got to talk about. So, you know, it's nice to have a sermon that's going to be talking about things that are a little bit more on the encouraging side. Although, just so you know, we got to the encouraging part of Ezekiel, so come this coming Saturday to our class. By the way, if you missed this week, it's going to be at our clubhouse rather than at the Northminster Church. So let's get into our lesson about the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is something we don't talk about a lot. I think that'd be fair to say. So I just want to get you started by just asking some questions to think about. Who is the Holy Spirit? And what's his role in our life? Do you think about the Holy Spirit? Just on a daily basis. Do you pray to the Holy Spirit? Are you aware of the Holy Spirit in your life? What book in the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit the most? All right, the book of Acts, we had that lesson not too long ago. Great. Let's go to John 16. Starting in verse 5. Now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, that's an interesting thing here, because Jesus said that they were discouraged and even depressed that Jesus was leaving. Jesus was saying, hey, look, folks, it's better for you that I leave. Now, let's think about it. I mean, I don't know. It seems to me it'd be pretty cool having Jesus hanging out with you. Imagine, you know, like you got your devotionals and Jesus shows up. You could ask him some advice. Hey, what should I do in this situation? Should I ask this sister to date me, or I don't know if he'd have an opinion about that one, or you could kind of see his example, and you could, you know, it'd be really cool to have Jesus kind of walking around. But Jesus says, look, it's way better for you that I leave. Why? Because if I leave, I'll send the Holy Spirit. And having the Holy Spirit live in us is far better than having Jesus walking amongst us. Think about that. That's pretty amazing. So on a daily basis, do you think about the Spirit? Are you aware of the Spirit working in your life? Now, a little bit of background here. Just a little bit about our particular brand of Christianity, if you will. The Church of Christ, we come from what's known as the Restoration Movement back in the 19th century. And the main person, if you will, who founded that movement was a guy named Alexander Campbell. An amazing Bible scholar. He raised the level of Bible study in America fantastically. He founded many colleges. He spoke before the U.S. Senate. But he was a bit of a rationalist. In other words, he's a person who really believed in using logic and reason to approach the Bible. He believed you could scientifically analyze the Bible to answer virtually any question. Well, I don't know about that. Because there's a lot of principles and there's a lot of things that aren't a matter of scientific analysis. And he viewed Christianity from a very rational perspective. And Alexander Campbell was very skeptical about the Holy Spirit in general. Because one thing about the Spirit is, you know, it comes and goes and it's hard to predict. And so in the churches of Christ, they tended to limit the role of the Holy Spirit to inspiring the Bible. And that's it. I remember one time Jan and I were in Washington, and we didn't know what we were doing. We were just fairly young Christians. We put on a retreat. It was about the Holy Spirit. And people were like, why would you do a retreat about the Holy Spirit? They looked at us like we were from Mars or something like that. You know, there's another reason that we tend to maybe not stress the role of the Holy Spirit in our life as much as we would otherwise, is because of a reaction against some of the things that we see happening. You know, there's some people that have practices that we may not agree with. You know, we might read in say, 1 Corinthians 13, and it says that prophecy will cease and tongues will cease. And we hear people saying things like, you know, the Lord told me this. And we kind of hear what they just said the Lord told them, and you're like, man, I'm seriously questioning that. But one rule of thumb I'd like to live by is, do not let what you believe or practice be affected by the mistakes of others. And so I think that's a mistake that we've made to some extent. I don't want to exaggerate, but I think to some extent we've allowed what we don't agree with to cause us to not do what God wants us to do and not experience what God wants us to experience. My good friend James Guitry, his sister's here. There she is, all right? A quote from James. I'm going to quote your brother. How about that? That's cool. You know, she's like quoting my brother. He said, the charismatic teachings have cast a long shadow on the theological landscape. And I believe that especially applies to us. But you know what? I want to stop talking about that. I just want to get back to talking about the Holy Spirit, all right? So enough of that. So we're going to have, I don't know, six-part outline, something like that. So I better start cranking here. Number one, He lives in us. All right, let's go to John 14, verse 17. There's so many encouraging things about the Spirit. Actually, let me go back to 15. If you love me, you obey what I command. John 14. And I'll ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you, and He will be in you. Now, He's talking to the apostles, and He says to the apostles, the Holy Spirit is with you. But He says, but in the future, He will be in you. And even in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was around. It's not that the Holy Spirit wasn't doing things. It wasn't like the Holy Spirit wasn't influencing situations and people, even at that time. But He says, He will be in you. I think about that. The God of the universe, the creator of everything, the Alpha and the Omega, and He comes and He sets up shop, and if you become a Christian, if you're baptized into Christ, He lives in you. I mean, that's pretty cool. That's pretty amazing. Let's go to Acts 5, 1 through 4. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you've lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money received from the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to God, men, but to God. And so, basically saying, because Ananias was a Christian, he had the Holy Spirit living in him, he says, you didn't just lie to us, you lied to the Spirit. And because God lives in us, everything we do, everything we see, everything we watch, everything we think about, the Holy Spirit is experiencing that right along with us. I don't know about you, but that most motivates me to keep a clean house. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if the Holy Spirit's living in my house, you know, I think I'm going to pay a little bit of extra attention to keeping that house clean. What about you? Acts 5, 29 through 32. A similar passage. Acts 5, 29 through 32. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you have killed by hanging Him on a tree. God exalted Him to His own right hand as Prince and Savior, that He might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. Everything we do, the Holy Spirit is a witness to. Imagine, you're on the internet, and a pornographic website comes up, generally not by accident. And while you're looking at it, the Holy Spirit is viewing that thing. How do you think the Holy Spirit thinks about viewing that thing? You know, I kind of think of it as an analogy. Imagine you're on a date and your mother's sitting in the back seat. I mean, you know. Now, as disciples, that wouldn't affect what we do on our date, right? Oh, maybe slightly, you know, but not really. But talk about having the Holy Spirit in the back seat. How about having the Holy Spirit living in you, experiencing what you experience? What are you willing to put the Holy Spirit through as He lives in your life? Because He is a witness of everything we do. And I think it'd be helpful if we're aware of that, if we think about that. Another point is the Holy Spirit empowers us. But He's also, it's about a relationship. Philippians 2, verse 1. It got quiet in here. People are thinking about that. That gets me thinking. In a way, it's almost creepy. You know, it's almost creepy. In a way. It's really encouraging, though. But realize this. You know, even in Hebrews 10, where it talks about, we insult the Spirit if we willingly continue to sin. Because the Holy Spirit experiences those things. So point number two, we're going to talk about the Spirit empowering us, which is pretty awesome. All right, but the principal role of the Holy Spirit is about a relationship. That is what He is about. That's what He is about. He's about a relationship. Let's go to John 14. By the way, a little pet peeve. Please don't say it. That bothers me. People say, yeah, the Holy Spirit, it. I don't know. How'd you like to be called it? Hey, it, you know. It came to work. It showed up to work today. That'd be kind of weird. So let's just say He, all right? I mean, that's not important. It's not in my outline, but I'll just throw my pet peeve out there. Please don't say it, not the Holy Spirit. Well, anyway, whatever. John 14, starting in verse 15. If you love Me, you obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you. Oh, we already read this passage. And He will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see Me anymore, but you will see Me because I live, you also will live. See, because the Holy Spirit lives in us, we are not orphans. Like it says in Acts 8, because He lives in us, we say, Abba, Father. He hasn't left us alone. It's about a relationship. Jesus did not abandon His disciples, even though He abandoned Him. In fact, He sent the Holy Spirit. He came and lived in them in the form of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 2, verse 1. I'm reading a lot of passages this morning. Philippians 2, verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, do you have any encouragement there?
Yeah.
All right, amen. Yeah. If any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. So we have fellowship with the Spirit. We have a relationship with God. We have a closeness, a family relationship. That's why the Spirit lives in us. Because God wants a relationship with us. It's like a piece of heaven. You know the footsteps thing? It's a little kitschy, the footsteps thing. You know the poster where, there's two sets of footprints and then trouble comes into your life and then there's just one set of footprints and the person says, oh, that means God abandoned you. No. It's because God is carrying you. All right, that's nice. I like that. It's not my thing, but that's kind of nice. All right? But I say, footsteps has nothing compared to the real thing, which is God is dwelling in us. And we have the most intimate possible imaginable relationship with God because He lives in us. Point number three, He lives in us, but we can be more filled with the Spirit or less filled with the Spirit. Now remember that ad campaign a couple years ago with the guy with, I don't know what computer company it was, but he had the little kids and he said, would you rather have more or less? Remember with the cute little kids? Would you rather have more or less? And the kids always say, more. Bigger or smaller? And the kids always say, bigger, obviously. Well, how about this? Would you rather be more filled with the Spirit? Or would you rather be less filled with the Spirit?
More.
There you go. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 6. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be more filled with the Spirit. That seems like the better option. Acts 6, verse 2. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We'll turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Now, a couple of points here. First of all, in choosing somebody to take an important role in the church, their first, option on the list, their first qualification was that somebody was filled with the Spirit. So they weren't necessarily looking at the talents. They weren't necessarily looking at their ability, although I suppose you could take that into account. They weren't necessarily looking to, you know, how high a position they held in the community, although I think that's something to take into account. What they're looking for was who is filled with the Spirit. Now, let me ask you a question. How would you know who's filled with the Spirit? Do you think if somebody was, you know, let's say your close friends, they're thinking about you. Is that person filled with the Spirit? What would they say? What would you look for? Do you think the disciples had a little spirit written across their forehead and it glowed brighter when they're more filled with the Spirit? I think they look for people who had deep conviction about sin. People who were sensitive, who were shocked still when they saw sin occurring. I think they look for people who, when they read the Scripture, they got it easily and quickly. Because that's one of the roles of the Spirit, as we'll see. I think they look for people who stayed joyful despite what was going on around them in their surroundings. I think that's some of the things they look for. I don't know exactly what they look for. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And one thing about the Holy Spirit is you can't measure it. You know, I'm a scientist, and there's certain things about the Holy Spirit, to be honest with you, I'm sort of uncomfortable with. Because I like things that I can gauge, and I like things that I can kind of, you know, measure out, and that I can predict. Kind of, that's a little bit what science is about. But the Holy Spirit is about things that you can't necessarily predict. It's like the wind, right? Jesus said the Holy Spirit is like the wind, and you can't see the wind, but you know when the wind's there because it moves the trees. And that's kind of how it is with the Spirit. You know, you can't see it, but you can see the trees moving. You know what I'm saying? But to some extent, I don't know. I don't like that. Because I like things that I can figure out and measure. But that's just the way it is with the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Don't quench the Spirit. So that's one thing I want to make sure is I don't want to quench the Spirit. Because the Spirit is like a fire. And we can fan it into flames, as it says in another passage. So how do I quench the Spirit? Well, the most obvious way I quench the Spirit is by making the Spirit experience sinful things. I want to suggest another thing, though. Because I believe, in fact, that's going to be our next point, that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. He prompts us. And he gives direction to us. He gives suggestions to us. Imagine you're giving advice to somebody, and you really put yourself out there, and you give them the advice, and they ignore it. All right, you say, hey, you know, just let me remind you. I mean, I'm not here to tell you what to do. I don't want to tell you what to do, but brother or sister, you know, I gave that advice. You didn't take it. Could I remind that to you one more time? You know, I think you really should seriously consider this. Blow you off. What are you going to do the next time? You figure, well, I'm not going to waste my time. I'm not going to waste my time. You know, so I think we quench the Spirit when we sin, obviously, but when we don't listen to Him when He speaks. And I believe He does speak. I believe He speaks in different ways at different times. So the next point is, the Holy Spirit will prompt us. He will speak to us. He will influence us. Acts 8, 29 through 31. I really believe this. I can't measure it. I can't do an experiment. I can't attach a number to it. But one thing I know is I don't want to quench the Spirit. Acts 8, 29 through 31. All right, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot, heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explain it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, wouldn't you like to have something like that happen in your life? That would be so awesome. So awesome. I mean, and some of us have had those kinds of experiences. But it says here, the Spirit told Philip to go talk to that dude. So what do you think it was? Do you think there was a voice coming out of the sky? Do you think like a parchment scroll fell down in front of him and he picked it up, said, go talk to that guy? How'd that work? I think what happened was Philip's walking down the road and all of a sudden he realized, I need to share with that guy. All right? And you know what he did? See, he was open to the promptings of the Spirit and he went and shared with that guy. How many times have we missed what a blessing God wanted to put in our life because we didn't listen to the Spirit? You know, and again, like I said, this is, you know, it's not rational. I can't measure it. I don't know. I mean, was that the Spirit or did you have indigestion? I don't really know. I can't tell you. That, you know, that's the problem for me. All right, but, you know, let me give you a suggestion. For example, if somebody tells you the Spirit said, I need to go into that bar. All right, no. The Spirit told me I need to take a 3-hour long nap. Maybe. The Spirit told me I need to call and encourage that brother or sister. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Thumbs up. The Spirit told me be careful about that person. Maybe. Maybe. The Spirit told me that I really need to go into depth and study out of the book of Galatians. Could be. All right? You know, I think in sharing our faith, a lot of times we miss the role of the Holy Spirit in that. The Spirit's setting the whole situation up. The Spirit may not be in that person, but He's working around that person. Puts you in the life. And He's, all right, come on, go for it. We're like, well, you know, I need to check my cell phone, see how my text messages are going. You got a text message from the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is telling you to share your faith. The Holy Spirit is telling you to stay away from that situation where you're going to be tempted to sin. So, you know what? I admit, I don't really know. I can't explain it. I can't prove to you whether it's the Holy Spirit or something that came out of your mind. I can't prove it. You know what? I'm not going to worry about it. Because I know the kinds of things the Holy Spirit is likely to tell me to do. And I find that when I am aware of the Spirit, when I literally pray, actually pray to the Spirit, and acknowledge Him on a daily basis, I don't know. I can't prove it to you. It's not an equation. But I notice things start happening. And I say amen to that, all right? Yeah, that's good stuff. All right. Next. Number five, the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayers. Romans 8. This is very significant. Very significant, I believe. Romans 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayers. Now, I don't know about you, but now think about it. How did you learn how to pray? Now, the way I learned how to pray was by watching people praying and hearing them pray. And, you know, when people are asked to get up in front of the church to pray, what do? They start talking. All right? So to me, I was trained that praying is talking. But I believe praying is more than talking. Think about it. Those of you who have fallen in love, remember that time you're just talking and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, you looked at her, she looked at you, and it's like, whoa, whoa, that just happened. You know what I'm talking about? How many words? No words. You know, I think prayer, we need to stop talking sometimes. We just need to, again, coming from a scientist, feel, experience. Because, you know, the Holy Spirit says those things that we don't know how to say. And those things are deep. They're emotional. They're not so intellectual. Sometimes we just need to meditate. Sometimes we just need to let the Holy Spirit speak. And when He does that, those groans that words cannot express, and God searches our heart, He knows what we really feel, and He knows that because of the Holy Spirit. I don't know, that's pretty good stuff. There we go. Great. Next, the Holy Spirit works in the church. Acts 13. Did that child say no? I said Acts 13. He said no. All right. Well, that was not the Holy Spirit. I'm almost sure. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And again, we see, one thing I realize is that the early church was very, very aware of the Holy Spirit. And they were constantly aware, I think quite a bit more than we are. Honestly, I think they were. And again, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart Barnabas and Saul." And again, so fine, what actually happened? Do you think they're sitting there and all of a sudden, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul"? I don't think it worked that way. I do think they knew that the Holy Spirit had said about Barnabas and Saul. How did they know that? I think what happened was they've been praying about it. They've been fasting. They had a discussion, and then God made it fully clear. Like, you know, I'm sure they discussed it, and at some point the group realized the Holy Spirit has chosen, done deal. That's it. We're moving on. I believe the Holy Spirit will establish consensus in the church. He'll make it clear. I don't know how it's going to work. I can't describe it. I can't explain it. In Acts 20, we won't go there. In Acts 20, 25 through 29, Paul is speaking to the elders, and he said, "The Holy Spirit made you shepherds." So I believe the Holy Spirit will raise up leaders in the church, and I believe part of our role is to be sensitive and aware of how the Holy Spirit works. And I would go back to the passage in Acts 6 where it says, they look for those who were filled with the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16. Almost done. John chapter 16. Next point is the Holy Spirit will help us to understand the Scriptures. That might be one of the more obvious things, I guess, in a way. We've already read some in John chapter 16. Let me read verse 12 and 13. Now, Jesus said, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come." Now, for many, many years when I read that, I thought He was speaking only to the apostles. And I believe He is speaking about this to the apostles more directly. I think this passage is principally about the fact that the Holy Spirit would direct them and would give them inspired teaching. I do not believe I have inspired teaching. I think we have all we need. If somebody tells you, you know, this is from God and you better listen because Holy Spirit, blah, 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 new teaching. No, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all. But I still say in general, the Holy Spirit helps us to understand God's will. And it helps us to understand His Scripture. And not about you, but I want to understand the Scripture. So I believe as we're reading the Scriptures, as we're trying to understand it, I believe we should acknowledge and accept and give permission to the Holy Spirit for us to understand the Scriptures more deeply. Number eight. Is that number eight already in my outline? Oh, my goodness. The Holy Spirit will help us to overcome sin. How about that? All right, let's go right across the page to chapter 16, verse 8. It says, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. In regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Because the Holy Spirit will convict the world. And the Holy Spirit is working even from outside of people. Even people that he's not living in yet. He's working on them. He's getting them, please pay attention. But the Holy Spirit living in us, he says, ho! Don't do that. Do not think that. Don't go there. Stay away from that. He'll convict us. And we need to be sensitive to that. And let's go to Romans 8. Because we read in Romans 8 that if the Holy Spirit isn't living in us, we can't stop sinning. We can't. But if he is living in us, then we have the power to overcome sin. Our excuses are much less, to say the least. Romans 8, the whole chapter practically is about this. I'm just going to read starting in verse 6. It says, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law, nor can it do so. But those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Now, does the Spirit of God live in you? Yes. Well, then, let him take control. Let him take control. You are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Christ. And if Christ is in you, your dead body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. By the way, that's another point about the Holy Spirit, but I'm not going to make that one until I'm going to do the Lord's Supper in a couple weeks on Easter. We're going to talk about something else the Holy Spirit does, which it's a secret. You'll have to hold on to that. All right? But it says here that because we have the Spirit in us, we're co-heirs with Christ. Because of that, we can say, Abba, Father, Daddy. Because God looks at us and he sees the Holy Spirit and we're his children. My last point is Romans 8, verse 14 through 16. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. See, the Holy Spirit is a seal. The Holy Spirit says we are God's children. That's the mark in Revelation. That's the mark in Ezekiel chapter 9. The mark is the Holy Spirit. It is the thing that guarantees our salvation. It's the thing that allows us to say, Daddy. It's the thing that says we are guaranteed. Our place is set. Our future is sealed. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. I really love this one. Ephesians 1. We are God's children. Because the Holy Spirit lives in us, we are part of the family. Verse 13. Ephesians 1, verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit is a deposit. God says, mine. And as long as that deposit is living in us, we are guaranteed salvation. And it is possible to lose the Spirit. We could talk about that in Hebrews chapter 6. It's possible. But I believe that The Holy Spirit is amazingly patient. And as long as He lives in us, we have that mark. We have that deposit. All right? And we don't have to fear. You don't have to fear because your place is there. Your room is laid out. The bed is made, except you won't need to sleep anymore. It's going to be awesome. You know, the goal of this lesson is for you to have joy. If you have confidence, if He lives in you, you have every reason to be confident because the blood of Christ purifies you from every sin. And to know that God is working in your life and then to be more aware of that. So in summary, Romans 8:14, let us be filled with the Holy Spirit. Romans 7:6, let us serve God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14, let us be led by the Spirit. And Galatians 5:25, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Thank you.